Begin the current daf, Mesechtes Bachim daf Lama Hei. Begin on the bottom of Lama Dalam Beis, five lines up in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues from the discussion in the previous daf, and that is the Gemara had mentioned, incidentally, the teaching of Rabbi Huda, because it wanted to prove the point to explain the Halacha of a Mishnah. The Gemara had asked regarding the types of situations where a Kasher Kohen had received the blood, but then it was passed on to an invalidating situation, either to a Pasul, or to the left hand, or to a Klei Chayil. So then the Mishnah said, it's okay, you could just put it back into the right position. The Gemara had asked, but that's dichli, that's rejected, because it was nir v'nitcha. And then the Gemara had answered, according to the second approach, it's actually not even nitcha. Because as we find Rabbi Huda, we see his opinion that holds elsewhere that nishpach adam is yomesh ha-mishtaleach, that there is halacha of being rejected, and in spite of that, he has the halacha that we're going to quote right now, which says that you could still pick up from the dama tarevis of all the mixed blood of the Karban Pesach, where although that's rejected when it's on the floor, so it was nearer when it was received in the vessel and then rejected, still we see since it's biyadoi lasakin, you could just put it back into its appropriate situation, which is asfai, put it back into a vessel from the floor, and then it's going to be kosher. Therefore, that's not even considered nitcha at all, and that's why in the halacha of our Mishnah, even according to those who hold of dichui, it's not going to be a problem about dichui. So that halacha that we mentioned, gufa, that Tanya, we learned in the Braiser, he says, Kais echad hayimimali midam ha-terubes. By Erev Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, after all the Karban Pesachs were brought, they would take one cupful of all the mixed blood that was on the floor of the Azara. Why? She'im yishafich echad mehem, because if let's say there's so many Karban Pesachs being brought, every Jewish person had to be part of a Karban Pesach. If one of them, that the blood that was received in the bowl was spilled out by mistake, so then the Karban Pesach is not kosher. It's only qualified because of the blood that's spilled. So it comes out that the blood that they're picking up from the floor, which has from that blood mixed in, that's going to validate that Karban Pesach, and therefore they have to go ahead and get at least one cupful and spray it on the Mizbeach one time, like the way a Karban Pesach normally was done. Now, that Amalei Rabbi Huda, the sages said to Rabbi Huda in disagreement, and they said, but this cup from, let's say, this one Karban Pesach that spilled on the floor, loy niskabel b'kli, it was never even received in the vessel. How could it be kosher? The halacha we know, as we said in the previous daf, is that if it spills from the neck of the animal straight onto the floor, and then it's gathered into a bowl, that's going to be pasul. So what does it help that you're going to gather it? That doesn't help. It went straight from the neck to the floor. That asked the Gemara, Menoyadi. How do the rabbis know, the rabbanu who disagree with Rabbi Huda, that it was not received in the vessel, this one Karban Pesach, that the blood wasn't thrown in the Mizbeach? But this is not a story that happened. We're talking about logic over here. That we're concerned that maybe the blood of one of the Karban Pesachs spilled on the floor. So how do they know when they're disagreeing with Rabbi Huda to say, what does it help to pick it up from the floor and gather it and put it in the bowl, but it fell straight from the neck? How do they know it fell straight from the neck? Eller rather, says the Gemara, what the Rabbana was saying is, Shem aloy neskabel b'kli. Maybe it never initially was received in the vessel, so it's going to come out that when they're throwing the blood of that one Karban Pesach that never made it to the Mizbeach, they're throwing Pasul dam, which is not allowed to be thrown in the Mizbeach because it's not even kosher for a Zerika because it was never received in the vessel in the first place. So what does it help gathering the blood, according to your opinion, throwing it in the Mizbeach? Vadam lehen, that says the Gemara, that says in the Braisa, he responded to the Rabban as we continue to have Lama Hayim and Aleph, that he said, Afani lo yamarti. He says, yeah, I also didn't say that this halacha, that they should gather at least a couple from the floor of the Azara, elikushin eskabu b'kli, only if it was received in the vessel and then it spilled. Then it helps to be asvay v'kasher. That's the case that I'm talking about. On that asked the Gemara, but v'hu gufei, but Rabbi Huda himself, menoyadi. From where does he know that it was received in a vessel, and that's what he's saying. Saying that they used to do that because it was received in a vessel and it spilled on the floor. How does he know that? Maybe the Rabban are right. Maybe it did spill from the neck and it doesn't help to pick it up. And to the contrary, it's dam pasul that would actually be not allowed to be thrown in the Mizbeach. That says the Gemara, no, Rabbi Huda held kahanim is reason. The Kahanim were diligent, they had alacrity, they were meticulous and conscientious to make sure to receive it in a vessel. But, so then how to spill on the floor? For sure they received it, so maybe then there should be reason. But Va'avdin Haya, since they were doing the service so quick, because you have to get every Karban Pesach from the whole Jewish people in those few hours, Umishtapchen, and therefore it could have spilled, but he knew that they for sure received it in the vessel, and therefore there's no problem but Asvai, and therefore it's going to be Kasher. But the Gemara has a different problem. But there's a different problem, is that the majority of the bloods that are on the floor even if you can say one person's cupful of his Karban Pesach spilled on the floor, all the rest of the blood is the residual blood of all the animals which were not received, which is not the lifeblood of the animal, called the Dam HaTamtzus, the blood that's squeezed out, is mixed together. So even if one of their Karban Pesach's blood spilled on the floor, it's batel b'miyuta, it's totally nullified in its minority to the majority of the blood, which is all these other Dam HaTamtzus. So what does it help to even throw it? It's batel, it loses its halachic significance. We don't even view it as blood anymore, because it's not even the Dam HaNefesh, it's not the Dam that's Reif Hazrika, it's bottle in the Dam HaTamtzus. Says the Gemara, that's not difficult, because Rabbi Yehuda L'Tamei, Rabbi Yehuda goes according to his opinion elsewhere, Dama that he says, Dam HaTamtzus Kari Dam. No, the residual blood is actually called blood, and that's actually valid for the Zrika to be done with it. So it's not bottle in the other bloods, because it's the same blood. All bloods are valid to be used for Zrika. The term like Lunda Braisa. Dam HaTamtzus Bazhara. Tanakama holds that it says in the Torah five times the prohibition of consuming blood. Now, although there's a prohibition of certain situations getting karis, there are certain situations that they're not karis. However, they're included from all the extra words of saying blood that's forbidden. And one of them includes the Dam HaTamtzus, as the Gemara says, increases in the first paragraph of Dalam HaBeis. That's what Tanakama says, that it's going to be a negative violation. Rabbi Yehuda Imei disagrees. He says, no, but karis. That if someone even consumes the residual blood, not the lifeblood of the animal, which is the primary blood that's coursing through, as the Gemara teaches over the Masechtas Krisis, it's considered Dam HaNefesh, and the person is going to get karis. So you see that it considers Dam HaTamtzus like the Dam HaNefesh, and therefore, just like the Dam HaNefesh, the primary blood is what's kosher b'zrika, so do the Dam HaTamtzus. So there's no bottle, it's the same thing, and therefore it's going to be kosher to take that cupful and validate that one Karban Pesach that possibly spilled. However, on this interpretation, the Gemara asks, but Vamra, Rabbi Lazar said, in qualifying this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, says that, Moed Rabbi Yehuda le'inyin kapara. Although in this previous brisa, he says that the Dam HaTamtzus is the same as Dam HaNefesh, he says, Rabbi Yehuda agrees regarding le'inyin kapara of atonement, she'enoi mechaper, that it does not atone, which is the halach of Zrika, is not valid. Shneim, like it says in the Pasuk, and the Gemara says, ki adam hu ba'nefesh yichaper, because the blood is in the soul, that's what atones, meaning, Dam Shanefesh Yitzabai Karadam. The blood that the soul leaves the being, that's called blood, which is the lifeblood, the primary blood, not the residual blood that just drips out afterwards. She'ena Nefesh Yitzabai, the lifeblood that does not cause the soul to depart, which is the Dam HaTamtzus, Ein Karadam, even according to Behud, it's not called blood. So we're back to the question. So it should be Batal in the other Dam, because it's not the same, it's not valid for Zrika. So how do we understand the opinion of Behud? Ella rather says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Tamei, it's understood according to a different opinion of Rabbi Yehuda according to his understanding. The Amad that he says, Ein Dam Avatl Dam. You're right. The Dam HaTamtzus is not valid as Dam HaZrika. However, it still does not nullify the blood of the Zrika. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, Min Bemina, when it's the same species, they're both blood, although one's valid for Kapar and one's not, it's not going to nullify it as the Gemara says in the Mishnah later on, Daf Ein Chesem and Aleph. And therefore, according to Behuda, it's not nullified, so that even that minority is still there, extant, halachically viewed as it's still there, and therefore it's going to be valid to scoop it up and throw it in the Mizbeach, according to Behuda. Now, once we introduce this Braisa, the Gemara continues with the Braisa. Amlem Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda responded back to the Chacham who disagree with him and say that, no, they didn't pick up a cupful and throw it on the Mizbeach. So the Devreichem, according to your opinion, Lama Paikin Nazar, why did they, Erev Pesach, go ahead and block off the exit of the Amma, which was a canal that went through the Azara, taking it out to Nachal Kidron, to the Kidron Valley, that they blocked it off, they stuffed it up that the blood should not go out. Why? According to me, we understand. They wanted to make sure that all the blood is trapped and maintained in the Azara, that they could scoop up afterwards and make sure if anyone spilled to throw it. But according to you, why did they do that? Amulay, they said to him, for a different reason. Shvachu levnei Aaron, it was a praise for the sons of Aaron, for the Kahanim, she'ahalchu adar kafisei medam, that they should go up to their knees in blood. That we wanted to show the avodah that they're doing, that they're walking in so much blood of the older karbanas, that they stuffed it up purposely, that they should be up to their knees in blood. Not because they should scoop it up, just that there should be blood that they're walking in. And that is the Gemara, but how is that halachically sound? But vadam havachatzitza, but the blood is an interposition between the feet of the Kahanim and the floor of the Azara. And the Mishnah taught us in Tezvav Mabez that if, let's say, they're standing on something else besides the floor of the Azara itself, that's not valid. You have to be standing on the Ritzvah itself. So how could this work out if the blood is on the floor? So the Gemara lachu, the blood was moist, was liquidy. Havachatzitza, and that's not considered an interposition. There's not like learned, which is actually a braisa. Hadam vadyoy, the blood and ink, v'hadvash, v'cholov, and honey, and milk, yevashin, if they're dry, so it's like a solid, and chaytzin, that's interposition. Lachen ein chaytzin, if it's moist, it's not a chatzitza, they're still, that even because it's liquidy, they're like touching the floor. But the Gemara has a different problem with this. But v'hokometavse manayu, but their garments are getting dirty because it's full of blood. It's none, and also we learned in the braisa, ha'ibagadav mitushtashin ba'avad, if their garment was muddy and they did the avayda, avadas psula, that invalidates the avayda. Now, and says the Gemara, v'chitam, if you're going to say demadaluluhu, that's not a problem, because they lifted up their garments, so their feet were in the blood, and that's not a chatzitza, and the garments weren't getting dirty, that's also a problem, because v'tan linda braisa, the pasuk says, regarding the kahana garments, midoy, which means kimidasai, mida is from a measurement. Shouldn't be any missing, shouldn't be any longer, has to be exacting. They cannot lift up their garments. So how do we understand? If they have to keep it down, it's going to get dirty, and that's not valid to do that later. So that says the Gemara, this that the Rabbanu was saying, that it's a praise for the sons of Aaron, that they're walking knee-high in blood, that was by Halachas Evarim LaKevesh. That was when they were transporting the limbs of the Karbanos to the ramp. The Lava Vaidi, that's not considered a primary service of the Karbanos. And therefore that, they're allowed to be in the without the Kahana garments touching the ground. So the garments weren't getting dirty, which later on the Gemara is going to ask, but then how did they do by the primary avoid, just like transporting blood? Where could you walk? It's full of blood. And they're going to get dirty, or it's going to be lifted up their garments either way, which anyway is a problem. That's what the Gemara is saying. That, when they were walking knee-high, was for something that wasn't an integral part of the avoid. On that is the Gemara of Eloi. You tell me transporting the limbs is not considered an integral part of the avoid, regarding this, that their garments have to be down to the floor and that it can't get dirty. But Ratanya learned the Brisa, the Pasuk says, Meyikra, Vehikra, Vakoyin, Sakel, that the Kohen brought it all to the Mizbech. What does that mean? Zohiloche Sevam Lekevish, as the Gemara there learns, that this is coming to include this Pasuk of transporting the limbs to the ramp. So you see, that is a primary part of the Avodah, as the Pasuk says. So we're back to the question, what was this that they walked knee-high? Ela Rav says, the Gemara by Lochas Eitzim L'Maracha, it was when they would bring the wood to the pyre, to the fire that's on the Mizbeach, the Lava Avaydihi, which that's not a primary Avaydah, that's when they walk knee-high. And that's not a problem, that they can lift up their garments, because that's not an Avaydah to have Kimidasi. But on that, the Gemara asks, but V'la Avaydihi Chazer, but then when they had to do the integral Avaydahs, like transporting the blood, which is Hoylach, one of the Dalit primary Avaydahs, how did they go if blood was everywhere? And you can't have it down, because it's going to get dirty, and you can't have it up, because it has to be Kimidasi. Says the Gemara, then Azla it's to be. Then they would walk on these higher platforms made out of stone, which that doesn't interpose. Why your foot are not on the ground, it's on this platform, because the platform was made from the same type of stone that the floor was made out of. So it was like an elevated floor. It's still considered like they're on the floor, and so they weren't touching the blood, but yet at the same time they were considered not having a chatzitza between them and the floor. That's what they would do then when they were knee-high, and that's what Kodesh Rabban, they stuffed up the Azar, was when they were meilech the Eitzim l'maracha. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding the machshava of pigel, when someone, when he's doing the avodah, has in mind an inappropriate thought of chutz l'zman or chutz l'mkaymai when he's doing one of the four primary avodahs. So says the Mishnah, hashechel es hazevach, if someone slaughters a carbon, lechel davar she'ein darche lechel, because we had said in the previous Mishnah, what is pigel, what is the machshava chutz l'mkaymai, when he has in mind to eat something that's normally eaten, or to sacrifice something that's usually sacrificed. And that our Mishnah says, but let's say it's to eat something that's not normally eaten, or that is to sacrifice something that's not usually sacrificed, and either he's doing it chutz l'mkaymai or with a machshava of chutz l'zmanai. Says the Mishnah, kashus, that's going to be valid. However, Rebbe Eliezer says that even if it's to eat something that's not normally eaten, or to sacrifice something that's not usually sacrificed, like not normally eaten is the emurim, not normally sacrificed is the meat, that still, he says, is going to be invalid. That will make it a machshavas of psul. Continues the Mishnah regarding things that do not qualify for the halacha of pigul. Let's say lechel davar shederecho lechel. Yeah, let's say he's having in mind when he's doing one of the primary avodas to eat something that's normally eaten, or lahakter davar shederecho lahakter, or to sacrifice something that's normally sacrificed to have it done chutz l'zmano or chutz l'mkaymai. But it's pachas megizayis. What he's having in mind to be eaten or to be sacrificed is less than an olive size. Then that's kasher. That's going to be valid because it's not a shir of achila. Shir achila has to be to violate this halacha to make a pasul at least the size of a gezayis. Let's say lechel kechatzizayis ulahakter kechatzizayis. Let's say he has in mind a sum total of a gezayis, but half of it is to eat a half of an olive size, and the other half is to sacrifice a half of olive size. Says the Mishnah Kasha, that's going to be valid, like we said in the previous Mishnah, Shein Achilu Vaktar Mitztarfim, because eating and sacrificing do not combine. They're two different Achilas, although they both will qualify if you have a Shir Kezayis each one, but they don't combine because they're two different types of Achilas. Says the Mishnah, let's say Hashecher Es HaZevach Lechel Kezayis Min Ha'arf. Someone slaughters, that's one of the primary Avodas, he's slaughtering the carbon, to eat an olive size of the hide, Chutzlas Man Chutzlam Kaimei, or Umin HaReitiv, from the gravy, or Umin HaKippah, which is, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Chulin, the spices and the small little pieces, that are the pieces that settle there on the bottom of the pot. Umina olal, which is the sinew of the neck, which is very hard and is also not fit for eating. Or umina tzames, from the bones. Umina gidin, or from the sinews. Umina karnayim, from the horns. Umina tlofim, from the hooves. If he has a mind, when he's doing the avayda, to have one of these items which are not edible, chutzlas manim chutzim kaimai, beyond its time or beyond its space, so kasha, it's going to be valid, like, as we said, it's not davish adar chalechel. Moreover, ve'en chayov nalei mishim pigul. Let's say the carbon was made with a machshava of pigul, which in the classic case where he had in mind during the primary avaydas regarding the meat or the emurim to be chutzlas manai, and it became pigul. If someone eats from one of these items, like the hide or regarding the bones, so then he's going to be exempt from pigul. It's not considered one of the items that becomes nispagil, because it's not a part of the primary edible items of the carbon. And neither will he be liable for eating the leftover pieces, the pieces of the carbon, which one's not allowed to eat from it beyond its designated time, which is, even if it wasn't made pigul, if it just wasn't eaten in its one day or 2 days, he's not going to be liable. And vertame, if let's say he eats it with, he's in the physical state of impurity, in a regular carbon, he's not going to be liable for that halacha of tameh, because that's only on the basar, not on these things which are not edible. Continues the Mishnah. Hashecher es ha-mukdashin, continuing on similar types of cases. Someone slaughters the mukdashin. Now, the reason why I changed the wording from hashecher es ha-zevach, although it's also talking about a carbon, is because it's referring to female, because as we'll see, these are elements that relate to a female carbon. So if someone's slaughtering a female carbon, lechol shlil, to eat the fetus that's in its womb, Aishilya, or the afterbirth, which is bachutz, to eat it beyond its time, loy pigul, that does not make the carbon pigul, because he did not have a machshava of eating the primary carbon beyond its time, because this is not the primary carbon, it's the fetus, or it's the afterbirth. So to hamaylik esatayin, if someone's doing malika, which is the equivalent of the shchita in the turtle doves, which is a certain type of carbon of the birds, if he's doing that avayda lechol beitzehen bachutz, to eat the eggs, which is inside the bird, beyond its time. Again, they're also lay pigul, it's not a primary part of the carbon. So to chalev mukdashin, the milk of the female carbon in its udder, ubei tyrin, or the eggs of the turtle doves, ein chayavin alei mishim pigul. In other words, if he did a classic pigul in the carbon, and then this carbon, which is pigul, he eats from the milk, is not going to be liable karas, because that's not a primary part of the carbon, and either is going to be chayiv a nice of a tummy, not going to be chayiv for having eaten it if it left over its time, or if he was in a state of impurity and consumed that milk, that's not a liability of karas, that's of tummy, because that's only in regards to the carbon itself, and this is not the primary thing, this is the milk that comes from the animal. Now, relating to the halacha of the Mishnah, which the Gemara will ultimately relate back to the halacha of the Mishnah and prove this halacha from the Mishnah, Amar Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar says, Pigul bezevach. Let's say someone slaughtered a carbon with the intention to eat or to sacrifice the carbon chutzlas manai. So then the carbon becomes pigul. And the spagil hashlil. If someone eats from the fetus, is michayiv karas. However, if bishlil, if let's say when they're slaughtering the carbon was with the intention to eat the fetus beyond the time of the carbon's allowed to be eaten, loin nispagil hazevach, then the carbon does not become pigul. Now the reason why this says Rashi over here is because although Rebbe Elazar holds that the fetus is a part of the carbon itself, as the Gemara says many times in Shas, ubi yerech imahu, the fetus is like the thigh, is like an extension of the mother. However, a machshava of pigul in the fetus does not make the carbon pigul. Why? Because the fetus is not something that's normally eaten. Most people don't eat it. And therefore, it's not considered a primary part to be considered of Devarin HaNachalan to make pigul on the whole carbon. Now, The fact of the matter is that actually the shlil itself will also not become pigul. From the fact that the Mishnah says, lechol shlil shil yibachutz, if he had a mind to eat the fetus or the afterbirth beyond its time, loy pigul. The carbon does not become pigul, which sounds like even the fetus itself. However, the fact is that, but if you pigul bezevach, the shlil will become nispagel because ultimately it is something that's part of the carbon itself, and therefore it becomes pigel on that. But if he has machshava in the shlil, that does not make the carbon pigel. Similarly, two other items that share this commonality of that it could be nispagel, it could become pigel, but it cannot be mefagel, is pigel ba'ol. So let's say he had a machshava in the ol, which is the tendons in the neck, the sinews of the neck of the bird, which in contrast to the animal, as we said in the Mishnah, by the bird, it's fit to be eaten because it's soft. So then nispagel mura. So then the crop, which is some type of a pouch in the gullet of the bird, that crop becomes pigel. But b'meira, if let's say he's having a machshava of pigel in regards to consuming the crop, which is not fit to be eaten because it's just waste matter in there, therefore the machshava of that crop is not mefagel, so lo nispagel ol. So therefore then the ol, that which is edible, does not become pigel either. Now however, similarly like we said before, but when the bird does become pigel by something else, since ultimately some people do eat the crop, therefore then, as we said, if nispigel ba'ol, you're going to be nispagel mura, the crop will be chai of karas for eating it. A third similar type of a case is pigel be'emurin. If let's say someone is slaughtering the parm hanisrafim, which certain unique karbanis, like when the tzibur had a par helam dav or shal tzibur, or when the kohen gadol, the par kohen mashiach, these are certain karbanis which, although generally those types of karbanis, the meat is eaten, here the blood is thrown inside the heichel, and then the meat of the karban was burnt outside chutz lamachna. Now, so when they were doing the slaughtering of these parm hanisrafim, the bulls which are burnt, in contrast to regular karban chatas where the meat is eaten, if they're having a machshava to sacrifice the emurin, chutz lizman. So that's what it says, pigel be'emurin, if he's being mefagel, the sacrificial parts which are burnt on the mizbeach, he's having a machshava that those emurin should be eaten, chutz lizman, nispaglu parm, then the meat of the parm on the sraf, although really it's supposed to be burnt, if someone eats from that meat, he's michayev karas, because it is nispagel. However, b'parm, if let's say when he's slaughtering the parm on the strafim, he has a mind to eat from the meat, chutz lizmanai, like nispagli murm. So then the sacrificial parts, if someone eats from it, although that's forbidden, but he's not going to be chayiv karis if someone eats from the kidneys or from the diaphragm, which are the imurm, the sacrificial parts, that's put on the mizbeach, because it's not mefagel. Now, for sure, the meat of the bull itself is not going to be nispagel, because we need to have the machshava has to be to eat something which is normally eaten, and here he's having a machshava to eat something that's not normally eaten because the meat is usually burnt. Now, the reason why we said lo nispagli murim, if the truth is even the parm itself does not become pigel, is just because it said pigel be murim nispagli parm. So it also says that when pigel be parm, it's lo nispagli murim, but the truth is even the par itself does not become pigel. So therefore we see three cases that Rabbi Elazar says where although they cannot create pigel, because something lacking in them regarding being a primary edible part of the animal. However, but if there is pigel done on something else which is edible, that is a primary part of the carbon, they do become pigel. Says the Gemara, le misayeli. Let's say from the following brisa to support Rabbi Elazar that he says this halacha that they could become pigel, which is called mispagel, even though they cannot be mefagel. For example, like he said, the shlil and the meira and the meat of the par, where although they cannot be mefagel, they are nispagel. From the following brisa, the brisa says v'shavim, that Reb Shimon and the Chacham who disagree in Perek Beisham, which is brought later on the from Megillah and Aleph, where the Rabbanan say that the halacha of pigel applies by the par manasrafim. Now, Reb Shimon disagrees, and he says that any carbon that's not brought on the Mizbeach HaChitzen, like the carbon shlamim, which is where we learn out the halacha of pigel, which is mentioned over there, there's not going to be a liability of pigel. And therefore, that excludes parma nesrafim, because it's not brought on the Mizbeach HaChitzen. However, says the Braisa, they both agree, she'im chishiv, that if someone had a machshava by one of the avoidis of the dam, which is when usually pigel is done, ba'achilas parm ubisrei fasim, meaning to eat from the meat of the par tomorrow, or to burn on the place of the ashes, which is done out of the machane, according to the halacha that it's supposed to be done. However, he has a mind to do it tomorrow, beyond the time, that he hasn't done anything. Why? Why, according to everyone, is that not going to make it pigel? Because a thought regarding eating the meat's not going to do anything, because that's something that's davar she'in darcho lechel. And as we said, Rabbanan hold in our Mishnah, that to create pigel has to be something that's normally eaten. Moreover, the machshava regarding the burning of the meat on the Beis HaDeshen is also not halachically valid to make pigel, because it only has to be, the only types of burning that, of meat that helps is machshava of achilas mizbeach. There's two types of achilas, either the consumption of a person or the consumption of the mizbeach. But regular burning, that's not a terminology of eating, and therefore that's not going to qualify to create pigel. Now, although we said in the previous parak that if someone has a mind that fire should burn it, that tomorrow that will create pigel, but that's like the Gemara said over there, that's only if he says it in the terminology of achila. Here he's having a mind to burn it on beis hadeshen. That's not considered achila at all. So therefore, they both agree that in that situation, he hasn't done anything, and everyone's going to agree in that situation, not going to create pigel. Says the Gemara, the inference is, my love, isn't it? So then the situation where the Rabbanon disagree. And they say that, no, that there is a situation, because that's the machlekes brought later on, that pigel will apply by the parman hastafim. We said that they agree in the case that we just described. Must be, what's the case that they disagree? By the meat of the bull itself. And that is, if chishev be'imurim, if they had a mind that to have the sacrificial parts sacrificed tomorrow, which is its normal type of pigel, which is the consumption of the mizbeach, that then nispagluparim, that then the meat of the bull will become pigel to become punished for curse for consuming that meat. That's like Rebbe Elazar, where we see that although he's having in mind to eat the par or to burn the meat of the par, that's not going to create pigel, that everyone's going to agree. So what's the case that they disagree? Must be that when they're having in mind by the murim, that then you will be chayv pigel on the meat of the par. Well, that's like Rebbe Elazar, where although it's not mefagel, as the Brice is saying that everyone agrees in that situation, but when the Rabban disagree, is when you're having in mind by the murim, that it will be nispagel. That's like Rebbe Elazar. Says the Gemara, no, right, Rebbe Elazar, as you continue to base, what the inference is, which we the Rabban disagree, is hachishev be'imurin. Yeah, obviously having machshava by the meat of the power, which the bust of the power, that's not going to create pigel. The inference is, where did the Rabban disagree that there is pigel? If you had in mind by the sacrificial parts, nispagel, what becomes pigel? Emurin atzman. The sacrificial parts themselves then become pigel, which is the diaphragm and the kidneys, but not the meat. Because actually, we could say, nalik Rebbe Elazar, that the only part of the carbon itself that becomes pigel is only something that could create pigel. And since we're saying it's not considered an edible part to create pigel, neither is it considered an edible part to become pigel. And therefore, actually, we could say nalik Rebbe Elazar, and that meat itself, the parman sofim, would never become pigel, because they cannot be mefagel, they cannot be nispagel. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a right tashima. Let's bring a right to Rebbe Elazar from the following Mishnah Masechtas Me'ila. Mishnah says, parman nisrafim u'seir man nisrafim, which are these different types of karbanis, which is the bull that's burnt, or the he-goat that's burnt, which are certain unique types of karbanis, like we said, that the blood is thrown inside the heichel, and then the meat, unlike a regular karban chatas, is not eaten, rather it's burnt outside on the base adeshin. Says the Mishnah, Mayal in Behen, there's a halacha of mila, misappropriation of hektish on these karbanis, from when? Mishahuktishu, from when they're sanctified, then it becomes hektish. If one would then have pleasure from it forbiddenly, it would be a misappropriation of mi'il. Continues the Mishnah, Nishchatu, once these karbanis are slaughtered, then it has another added level of sanctity. Hukshru, now they become prepared to become permanently invalidated. Lipasal b'tfuyayim, to become invalidated if, let's say, certain types of tummy individuals touch it, which is even someone who immersed himself in the mikvah that day, but he didn't have sundown, or ubimechusik yipurim, or if, let's say, someone even had sundown, but didn't bring his carbon, which certain types of tummy have to bring carbon, as he's lacking his atonement, if they touch the carbon, it will invalidate it. And also it becomes invalidated now that it was slaughtered ubalina, with being left over its designated time. Says the Gemara, my lovely nispasar. What are we told, man? Aren't we told, man, even if the meat of the par or the seer on the sofim was left over its designated time, that will become invalidated now once it was slaughtered? Ushmamina, and therefore we can infer so too, the migu de pasabalina, that once we say that it has the invalidation of being left over its time, that pasla ba machshava, that so too, it would also become invalidated by a machshava of lina, by having a thought of being left over, which is what we classically call chutz lizmanai. Because if it gets invalidated by being left over, then for sure it's going to become possible by a machshava of being left over, which it would invalidate, what are we talking about? The meat of the par and the sar hanisrafim. Now, although the truth is that when he has the machshava on the meat itself, you cannot make such an inference. But that's because, as we said in the previous brisa, that when you have a machshava, it has to be to invalidate the carbon, it has to be in something shadarke lecha, that's normally eaten. Like we said, if someone has a mind to eat the par, he didn't do anything, even to invalidate. But what we could infer from this braisa, from the Mishnah Masechtas Me'ilah, is that if he has a machshava of linas emurim, of leaving over the sacrificial parts, that would be mafagel basar, which is like Rebbe Elazar. Because although, as we said previously, the machshava on the basar itself, to eat that beyond its time, is not going to be mafagel, but we see that just like leaving the meat over the time will make it puzzle, so to a machshava of lina, which is machshava of chutz hazmanai, which we have to say that's by the emurim, will also invalidate what? The meat itself. And therefore we see that although it's not mafagel, it's mispagel. So Zigmar Allah, no. Linas emurim. The Mishnah that's teaching that they're puzzle is talking about that, yeah, the sacrificial parts that are left over its time become puzzle, and that's what you could make the inference and continue and say that so too the machshava of leaving the emurim over will be mafagel, the emurim, not the meat. Because we're not talking about the meat at all, we're talking about the emurim. And there's no riot to Rabbi Elazar. On that, the Gemara asked, b'homigtani seifa, but from the fact that we learned at the end of that Mishnah, the Mishnah continues and says, but kulan, all of these nisrafim, whether it be paraman nisrafim or the siraman nisrafim, continues to qualify the halacha, ma'ilim behen, so how long does the halacha of me'ilah misappropriation apply? It applies al beis hadeshen when it's on the place where the ashes are poured, where it's burnt, ad sheyutach habasar, until the meat is charred. As Rashi says, not to have the girza mishayutach from when it's charred, because that's the limitation. Because then it's already something that its mitzvah is done with it, and actually then me'ilah doesn't apply anymore. It's rather up until it's charred, where there's still a necessity of avodah being done to it, then it's still called kachay hashem. So up until that point, me'ilah will apply. Now, mechlal, the inference is, from the fact that the Sefer is talking about the meat, how long is the me'ilah applies to the meat, which only the meat is brought al beis hadeshen. So mechlal, the ratio linus basa, the inference is that the ratio, what was that talking about, that also a psul of lina will apply with it, well, it was also talking about the meat. And then we said, so if lina applies to it, the machshavas lina also applies to it. So you see that it is the spagel and it's going to the meat, not the imum, like you said. So the Gemara, no, midi iria, is there any proof to what you're saying? Hakadisa, the ratio and the Sefer are talking about different halachas. Reisha Emurim, the Reisha is talking about the sacrificial parts, and therefore no right to Rebbe Elazar. Because what are we talking about that becomes possible with Lina and the Machshava of Lina, which means Nisbagel? It's talking about the Emurim. The Sefer, Babasa, the Sefer that's talking about how long does Me'ilah apply, that's talking about the meat, but there's no Raya to Rebbe Elazar. Now that we didn't bring support for Rebbe Elazar, the Gemara says, Meisiv Rabba. Rabba now asks on Rebbe Elazar from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Ve'elu she'ein mefaglin. The following items, if one has Machshava to eat them beyond the Zman or to have them burnt, that does not create pigle. And also, v'ein mispaglin. As the Gemara is going to explain later on, they also do not become pigle. What are these items? Tzemesh sheberashi kvasim, the wool that's on the head of the lambs. V'sa'ar shebezokin tiyashim, the hair that's on the beard of the he-goats, where the necessity of this chiddush is to say that actually the machshava of pigle would not apply to them, because really, the hide of the head is sacrificed with the head itself, because it's not in the halacha of being the skinned as the rest of a carbon oila is, as the Braisa teaches in Masechtas Chulnaf Chov Zayin Menalf. That where do we know that regarding the head, which was already cut off, because when you do shechita, that the halacha is actually that a machshava of haktara will apply, because it's part of what's brought on the mizbech, the chiddush is, but that these items, which are on the hide itself, will not qualify for machshava pigel if one has a mind to burn them tomorrow, because those are not items that are normally burnt, because they're actually included, as the Gemara says later on, Pek Mizbech Mekadosh, not Pehim Abeis, that if they're alu, if they're actually brought up, which many times Allah, if inappropriate things are put on the Mizbech, they're not brought down, here those things are, if they're put up, they are brought down, and therefore, although they're part of the hide, which is actually sacrificed, they will not qualify to create pigle or even become pigle. So to v'ha'er, if he has in mind a machshava psul or to become pasul regarding the hide, the skin, v'ha'raitiv and the gravy, v'akipa, and those are the small little pieces on the bottom when it's cooked, v'alal and the tendons of the neck of an animal, which those are not edible, v'amura and the crop of a bird, Vatsamis and the bones, Vagidin and the sinews, Vakarnaim and the horns, Vatlafaim and the hooves, Vashlil and the fetus, Vashilya and the afterbirth, Vachaleva Mokdashin and the milk that's in the udder of a female animal that's a carbon, Ubei Tyrin or the eggs of a turtle dove, Kulon, all these items, Loimafaglin, Loimisbaglin. They do not create pigul if you had a machshava to have these items eat or burnt the following day. And neither do they become pigul if one eats from it, that's not becoming pigul to be chayav karas, even though the carbon was made into pigul. And continues the b'raisa, ve'ein chayav nalei, and one is not liable on these things, mishum pigul, he's not going to be liable if, let's say, that someone had a machshava by a carbon of a regular halacha of pigul, which now the whole carbon became pigul. If someone eats from one of these items that we mentioned, he's not going to be chayav pigul, because they're not considered intrinsic edible parts of the carbon. Neither is going to be chayav on noiser if they were left over from its designated time. And v'tame, and neither is going to be liable if he's in a state of impurity and he eats these items. Moreover, v'hamala mehen b'chutz, if someone sacrifices these things beyond the perimeter of where it's allowed to be sacrificed, patur is going to be exempt because the liability of bringing a carbon out of the perimeter is only things that are fit to be brought inside the perimeter in the Ayel Moed, and these items are not. Now, on that concludes the Gemara. My love, isn't it what the Bryce is telling us, that loy mefaglin hazevach, when it says these items are not mefaglin and they're not mespaglin, means to say, if let's say someone threw the blood of the carbon with the intention to eat or to sacrifice one of these items, chutz lezmanoi, the carbon's going to be kosher. And when it says v'loy mespaglin, when it says it's not going to become pigul, is also machma zevach, which means to say if someone had a mind to eat from the meat of a carbon or to sacrifice its emur in chutz lezmanoi, which is a classic pigul, these items will not become pigul to get a punishment of karis if he eats from these items. Now that refutes Rebbe Lazar, because one of the items, the few items here that in this brayso were the shlil and the murah, which Rebbe Lazar said, although they're not mefagel, they are mespaglin. And here we see that not only they're not mefagel, they're also not mespaglin. Says Gemara Loi, no, it's not a contradiction to Rebbe Lazar. The brayso is saying, Loi mefaglin es hazevach, when you have a machshava on these items to eat them beyond the time, it does not make the carbon pigul. And when it says v'loy mespaglim, and they do not become pigul, is machmas atzman, is because of themselves, meaning if he threw the blood with the intention to eat one of these items, chutzas manai, when it said that they do not become pigul, is because the machshava is not a machshava. But if they had a machshava pigul on the carbon itself, then they actually would become pigul, like Rebbe Lazar said. And that is the Gemara. If that's the case, then Hadik Tani Sevi, this that we learned at the end of the Bryce that says, Kulon loy mefaglin and v'loy mespaglin. It repeated again. It says, all these items do not create pigul and do not become pigul. So hasu lamali. So what was it necessary to repeat that sentence? Isn't it coming to say that even if the machshava was pigul because of the carbon, which does create pigul, that these items do not become pigul, they're not mespaglin, not like Rebbe Lazar? And that says the Gemara, no. Because the Tamech, according to your reasoning, that what's the redundancy? Obviously, it's saying even if there was pigul on the zevach, then ein chayav nula mishim pigul. This that the Brisa repeats it a third time and says, and they're not going to be chayav because of pigul hasu lamali. What's the necessity of the Brisa teaching it again? What more is it teaching, even according to your reasoning? Ella must be that obviously the third time repeating it, you're right, was not necessary. It was just incidentally brought. Since it wanted to teach of the exemption of these items of being left over from its time and then eating it, or being in a state of impurity and eating it, so tana pigul, together with that, because they usually go together, was pigul mentioned incidentally. But yeah, we already knew that from the beginning part of the brayso. So therefore, hachanami, here also you can see even the coin Rebbe Lazar, there's no proof, there's no difficulty on him from the second time of repeating it, because that wasn't coming to teach even if mefagel nezevach, that they're not nespagel, they are nespagel. I did the boy lemisni hamalam and b'chut, since I wanted to say another halacha of, and if someone brings them outside, that he's going to be exempt. So tananami v'chulun lemefaglin v'mespaglin. So incidentally, it said also with that, that it does not create pigul or become pigul, but not because it's teaching any more of a chiddush, and therefore it's not a refutation of Rebbe Lazar. Could be if you mefaglin nezevach, they are nespaglin. When it said, ein mefaglin v'lemespaglin, was going, if you mefaglin it, it does not, it's not mefaglin anything else, and it itself does not become pigul too. And Rava Amar, he actually says, that actually, the way we differentiate it right now, so too we learned in our Mishnah, like Rebbe Lazar, that the shlil and the shilya, the fetus and the afterbirth, that although that they're not mefagel, they do not create pigel, but they do become pigel if one's mefagel on the carbon. What's the proof? Because our Mishnah said as follows. Hashecher esam ugdashnam, someone slaughters a female carbon, lechol shlil or shilya b'chutz, with the intention to eat the fetus or the afterbirth beyond the time that you're allowed to eat the carbon. So that's in the Mishnah. Loi pigul does not create pigul. Now, the understanding, what it sounds like is that not only does it not make anything else of the carbon pigul, but it itself also does not become pigul. Now, continues the Mishnah, v'amoylik esatayim, so too if someone does malika on the turtle doves, lechol beitzeim b'chutz, to eat its eggs beyond its time, they're also the same type of halacha, loi pigul, does not create pigul. Now the problem with this is v'hadutani. Then the Mishnah continues later on and it says that chaleva mukdashin ubeyi tayrim, the milk of these female carbons and the eggs of the turtle doves. In chayiv alein mishum, one's not going to be liable if he eats these items. Mishum pigel, let's say the carbon was pigel. If he eats these items, not going to be chayiv karas. Noiser is not going to be chayiv for having it eaten beyond this time. V'tamei or eaten it in a physical state of impurity to be chayiv. Now the inference is that's only regarding the milk of a cow and the eggs or some other animal or the eggs of the turtle dove. Hashlil v'shil yechayav, the inference sounds like is, because we had just mentioned these items before and they're not being mentioned regarding the exemption, but the fetus and the afterbirth sounds like that there would be a liability. That now the difficulty with that is that you see that obviously that the halacha of pigel would apply to these items. Now that contradicts what we said before, that the halacha of pigel does not apply to them, because we said that they're not mispagel. Elav Shmamina rather says, Rava, obviously you could infer that depends. Kan machmas zavach. When does it say that they're gonna have pigel? That, like we said, hoshlil b'shil yichayavim. That's if one was mefagel in the carbon, then like Rabbi Loza said, they are nispagel. Kan machmas atzman. The other part of the Mishnah that made it sound like that, when they're not mefagel, that they're not mefagel, not any other part of the carbon or themselves, is when the pigle was from themselves. Then they're not nispagel, because they can't create pigle. But however, if you mefagel the carbon, then they could be nispagel. Shema menah, that's a clear proof to Rabbi Lazar that although they're not mefagel these items, but they could be nispagel, if they had machshava psul in the carbon, it does become pigle. Now once we introduce this brisa, the Gemara introduces a related Mishnah. It's not hasam. We learn over there in Mishnah in Perek Habei Amizbech Mekadesh Da Pedalim and Aleph regarding the items that were imolu liyedu. Although that these items are not fit to be put on the Mizbech, but however, since they're not totally unfit, if they were after the fact put on the Mizbech, they're not taken down. What are these items? Now the Mishnah says, the Tanakhama says, Ubali Mumin, however, blemished animals, if they were put up, they are taken down. But Rabbi Kiva Machshav Ubali Mumin, Rabbi Kiva says, regarding blemished animals, if they were put up, that they're not taken down. Now, on that, Rabbi Chibar Abba Omer B'Yechon, he qualifies this permissibility of Rabbi Kiva, and he says, Lohichshir Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Kiva did not validate that it's not taken down a blemished animal, Ela Bedukin Sheba'ayin, only by certain types of blemishes, which are cataracts in the eye. So, although it's a full blemish, however, that blemish was only said regarding animals. But however, and that's because, like it says in the Pasuk, in Vayikachav Beis, Tamim Zachar Babakar Baksavim Ve'izim. It has to be a fully unblemished male animal by the cattle, by the sheep, and by the goat. Now from there the Gemara expounds in Menachas of Chafeim and Aleph that, yeah, by animals, then Tamas V'Zachar supplies. It has to be male and it has to be unblemished. But there's no halacha of being male or unblemished by bird karbanis. Now, so therefore, by bird karbanis, it's actually initially permitted to bring that type of a carbon on the Mizbech. So therefore, since by bird types of karbanis, if it has a cataract in its eye, it's even initially permitted to be sacrificed on the Mizbech. So therefore, Rabbi Kiva holds by an animal carbon, if it was put up, although it is a Mumbai behemoth, it's not going to come down. Why? As he explains, Hayluk Shein Ba'efes, since ultimately such a type of psul is valid by bird carbon, even like a tchila, because there's only a validation by a bird carbon, only if it's missing a limb. Like, for example, if a wing of it dried up, or an eye of it totally was blinded, or a foot got cut off, then, like the Gemara says in Mecheres, because Hakavei Nu Lefachasech, it's not appropriate to bring such a thing to your governor, it's not appropriate to bring such a thing to Hashem. But regarding Bedukin Sheba'ayin, just a cataract, since it's valid by bird carbon, so therefore that's going to be permitted after the fact by an animal carbon too. However, V'husha Kadim Hekdesha Esimumim, but this is only if the sanctification was before it developed as blemish. But if it, let's say it had the cataract before the carbon was sanctified, then the sanctity of Kedushas Mizbech, of it being a sacrifice, never took effect at all. Rather, it's going to have the halacha of Kedushas Dam, which is just a monetary sanctity. And then the Mizbech is not going to sanctify something that's puzzle, only something that's at least fit to it, that's a Kedushas Mizbech, as the Gemara explains in Perek Mizbech Mekadesh. So therefore here, where it had the cataract before, it never became Kadshei Zevach, and therefore even if it's put on, according to Rabbi Kiva, it would be Yerd. Now, on that, similarly, Amr B'chir Barabba, he says, so too, Amayd Rebbe Kiva Ba'ilas Nekeva. Rebbe Kiva also agrees, by a female animal, that's a carbon ayla, where even though after the fact it was put on the Mizbech, it's going to be taken down. Because although, similarly to like we said regarding the Tamus, like we said by the Duke and Sheba'ayin, is valid by the bird carbon, So here also, although that initially by a bird carbon, female, male, doesn't make a difference, and it's valid, have a female bird carbon, so you would have think that, okay, so too, here's also going to be alu layerdu by the female carbon ayla. No, that's a rechibar abba, like we said before, because in this situation, the command the kadamuma like desha dami. It's like the blemish was before we were sanctified, because there's no greater blemish by carbon ayla than being a female, which was from the moment it was born before it was sanctified, because every carbon ayla is male. And therefore, even the contra bekiva, it's going to be yerd. Now, this halacha, Moser Reb Zeir asked from the brice that we brought before, which we said over there regarding the shlil, regarding the fetus. The brice had said, which is one of the items that it said, Hamala mehen b'chutz, someone sacrifices the fetus outside the perimeter that's allowed to be sacrificed, which sounds like the actual flesh of the fetus itself, that pater, that is going to be exempt, because it's not the primary part of the carbon itself, and it's not something that's fit to be sacrificed on the Mizbech, as the Braisa teaches Masechtas Chundaf Ayin Hem and Aleph, that just like we find that the diaphragm and the kidneys, which are said by the Ashram, excludes the fetus, so to all carbonas, the fetus is excluded, it's not part of what's sacrificed on the Mizbech, and therefore, the halacha of being Malah B'chutz is only what's sacrificed inside, and therefore one's not going to be liable for sacrificing the fetus on the outside. Now, it's the diuk, the inference that Reb Zeir asked from. So that sounds like only the fetus. But if he has a mind to sacrifice the meat of the mother on the outside, then there would be a liability of the Isser of sacrificing a carbon out of the perimeter. Now we're going to find such a carbon about a mother carbon. Must be a carbon oila that's female. Because if it would be like a carbon shlamim or a chatas, that can't be. Because there, actually, if someone sacrifices the meat on the outside, they actually be exempt. Because the meat of a carbon chatas and a shlamim is actually not fit to be sacrificed inside on the mizbeach itself. As the Mishnah teaches later on the Kofid Beis and Beis, if someone sacrifices the meat of the chatas inside, is not on the outside, it's not going to be chayim, because it's not something that's usually sacrificed. The meat is usually eaten by the kahanim, by shlamim, by the owner. So what case could we talk about that the mother meat would be chayiv on the outside for mala b'chutz, which is something fit to be sacrificed on the mizbech? The only case we could have is a carbon ayla, which the meat is usually sacrificed on the mizbech, but what's the how do you have a mother? Must be a female. So says the Gemara, Iyamet b'shleim iksav Rebbe Kiva, oylas nekeva, im also leiterud. If you're going to say, not like was said before by Rebbe Chibar Abba, that if a carbon ayla, that's a female, if it was put on top of the mizbech, like the opinion of Rebbe Kiva, who is the lenient one that says leiterid, would say it's not going to come down. So Hamani Rebbe Kiva, so you're going to say, okay, who's the Tana over here? It's like Rebbe Kiva. Because since, at least inside on the Mizbeach, what's called Bifnim, im also leiterid, if it was put up, it would not come down. So it is considered something that could be brought inside. So then we can understand why there would be a liability for a sacrifice outside. Eli Iyamet, but if you say like Rebbe Chia Barabba, im also teirid, even according to Rebbe Kiva, who's the more lenient regarding what doesn't have to come down, says, no, this is like kadem muma lekdesha, the blemish was before it was sanctified, and therefore, even though it was put on, it would be coming down. So hamani, so who's the Tana of this braisa? How are we going to understand this halacha? So that says the Gemara, no, don't say the inference is, oh, the fetus you're not going to be chayiv, but the mother's meat you would be chayiv. Rather, Amos say the following dik. Yeah, hamala mehen b'chutz patev. Someone brings up one of these items and sacrifices out of the perimeter, all those cases regarding the ur, the reitim, and one of them was the shlil, the fetus, and then you bring it outside, you're going to be patev. The inference is, hame'imure iman chayev. But from the sacrificial parts of the mother, he's going to be liable. Not the meat itself, because yeah, meat wouldn't have. We're talking about regarding the sacrificial parts. Oh, so then we could say it's talking about the shlamim or chatas, which its sacrificial parts are brought in mizbeach. Then if it's sacrificed outside, would be chayiv, because a shlamim and a chatas are brought female. So that's not a psul, but you're right, oilas nekeva would not be chayiv to meet outside, because it's imalsa yeridu, it would come down, and it's kadam hekdesha, kadam mumal hekdesha. But the Gemara still asks, but how can you say that? V'homehen katani. The wording of the brice is, from them. What's from them? One of the items that we're talking about is the fetus, which sounds like the meat of the fetus itself. And the iman dumyu did who? So the inference is, what's the diuk? But from the mother, there would be a liability. Obviously, the mother is similar to it, which is from the meat of the mother itself. So we're back to the question. Obviously, we're talking about a carbon ayla. And obviously, not like Rebbe Chia Bar Abba, because I'm also la yerdu, and therefore that's why there would be a liability of sacrificing the meat outside. Says the Gemara, no. Elaimer, rather say the diak is, Hamala me'emurehen b'chutz pater. What did it mean in the Brisa when it says, whoever's mala mehen is going to be pater? What part of the fetus? The sacrificial parts of the fetus. Yeah, well, that's not the primary part of the carbon, and therefore one would be pater, even if it's a murim, which are normally sacrificed in mizbeach, from the fetus. That the diak is, but if the sacrificial parts of the mother, like a chatas and a shlamim, then there would be liability, and therefore there's no difficulty under Rebbe Rabba, because we're not talking about a oilas nekeva, because oilas nekeva, there would be no liability of malah b'chutz, because it's not fit at all, even after the fact, when it's brought in the mizbeach, because actually it would be imalu yerdu, because it's kadam mumalek deshoi, like we had qualified Rebbe Yechanan's teaching in Rebbe Kiva, and there's no difficulty, because what we're talking about over here is not the fetus itself, which is the meat of the fetus, the sacrificial parts, those parts that are normally sacrificed in the mizbeach, by the fetus, which is not a primary part of the carbon, is going to be putter from. But the murim, the diak is the murim of the mother, there would be liability, because yeah, those are things, by chatos and shlamim, which are female animals, which therefore that's not a psul to say yerdu, that there the halacha would be that it's usually sacrificed, so that's why, since it's usually brought b'fnim, there's going to be a liability of a malam hen, bachutz, regarding the mother of the fetus.